Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, I double-checked. It is Friday, although my sources could be wrong. April 3rd, 2020. And right now we'll talk to Mike McFarland, who joins us every week. Mac, good morning. How are you, sir?
Groundhog Day. I wake up, drink a pot of coffee, do any crossword puzzle I can get my hands on, turn on the TV, get depressed, turn on the stock channel, get even more depressed, think about what I'm going to have for lunch, work out, then I go and work out a little bit longer because you got to do something to kill some time, then you hurt, then you get even more depressed. Go outside in the nice weather, look at the yard. I woke up yesterday thrilled that it was mowing day, had something to do. Come back in, turn on the news, nothing's changed. Turn on the stocks, definitely nothing's changed. Pretty much just wander around the house picking up trash and thinking about how many times I can mow the car or, vacuum the carpet. Go into the garage, look and see if I can move one box from one side to the other. That's pretty much my day.
So, Mac, is this the first time you've ever actually, like, going into a season, look forward to talking to us on a Friday?
I was going to tell Nate I would watch a soccer game right now.
Wow.
That's where I'm at.
Wow.
I almost asked Stan Weber that when he was talking about how he'd rather watch competition than anything. Like, would you even really?
That answer, his answer would be no, I think.
Yeah.
He's like, more Tiger King.
Yeah. I'm hearing too many weird things about that right now. I'm looking for a happy place, so I'll give you my guilty pleasure that I'll probably have to give you my man card at some point. But the Hallmark Channel, nothing but good stories, man. Nothing but love, happy endings, clean smooch at the end. Yeah, wow. I'm good with the Hallmark movies. And then Drunk History. I like rewatching Drunk History.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
One of my favorites.
That's a great show.
Did you binge watch anything else this week?
I'm about episode 6, I think, on Ozark, Team Ruthie.
Yeah.
Butt.
Yeah.
And it's
okay, now hang on. Time out, Mac.
Yeah.
I'm just catching up. I'm still on season 2 of Ozark. But you're telling me you don't want to watch Tiger King because you need some feel-good stuff, so you're watching Ozark? That's got to be the darkest show I've ever seen.
Yeah, at least I'm somewhat interested in it. My wife's upstairs watching all those feel-good, This Is Us, New Amsterdam, and everything else. I'm like, what? Why? I mean, there's got to be something else on other than that. Make yourself feel miserable with everyone on there having, I got issues. And at least Ozark, they made an Overland Park reference on it the other day.
Right.
One episode. Yeah. They got the Kansas City Mob. So we're talking local history, Nate. Not Tiger King.
Ozark, don't listen to Nate. Ozark's great. Ozark's great. Don't let Nate talk it down. It's fantastic.
Hey, you're misunderstanding me. I didn't say it was bad. I'm just saying it's not uplifting. Do you disagree that it's dark?
But like, what do you expect? It's not a comedy. It's a crime drama. Like, you kind of know that
it's
going
not a
in.
Criticism. It's not a criticism. I was saying, he said he doesn't want to. Mac doesn't want to watch Tiger King because he wants to be uplifted. And there's local history in Tiger King too, Mac, because Joe Exotic has been to the Kansas City area showing off his tigers on multiple occasions.
Yeah. Steven, did you know that heavy metal Spanish music was going to be that annoying?
You know, here's the deal. We can't say too much because Nate hasn't watched to that point. We talked about this last week. Some of the scenes that Jason Bateman pulled off this year, I mean, he was awesome, and so was Laura Linney. But Ruth steals every scene. But I mean, no, that specific scene you were talking about, it was. And I'll tell you what, probably the best thing about Ozark, I didn't have any idea. I was going into the last episode or two, I had no idea what was going to happen or how they were going to wrap that up. It was great writing, great acting. It had me captivated to the very end. But that part that you were talking about with the stadium lights and everything else. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. I'm kind of easing into that one. I don't want to just completely binge the whole thing in one day, because then I wouldn't have anything else to look forward to.
I tried so hard. I swear I tried, and I just screwed that up because it got so good. Then it was like, I got to find out. And then I started to see like little things on Twitter. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make it because someone's going to give it up. You know, I cannot allow social media or someone else to tell me what happens and how everything wraps up. And there'll be another season, but I got to finish this. I got to watch this and see it for myself. But it was great. I mean, the whole season long. I think it was the best of the three seasons. But
yeah,
I liked all the seasons. So
fast becoming that. And I look forward to a little Westworld, although it makes my head hurt watching that show, trying to think of who's who. So watch.
Yeah,
that.
I'm trying. I'm with you on that. It's good. It takes you have to go back and try to figure out for the next 30 to 45 minutes what the hell just happened and try to make some match.
I'm glad it's once a week, though. Like, I'm glad there's not a bunch of them, because I think that would make, like, I got a week to digest it, and then, I'm ready for Sunday. It has me, you know, waiting for something every Sunday. I get new, fresh Westworld, and I get a week to digest it. So, if anything, I'm glad that that's not all available. Because I think I'd break my brain trying to watch that all at once.
No,
yeah, I wouldn't want to binge watch that. That'd be too, you know,
right.
I mean, like you said, you need.
I get up in the morning and then read the reviews and have the smarter people explain what the heck's going
exactly.
on Monday morning. And then Walking Dead, and that's ending. So that's the only night I look forward to my shows are Sunday night.
So Nate said he was going to ask you about soccer. Are you willing to join Team Jake and take WrestleMania 36 for a spin on Saturday and Sunday night?
God, I haven't watched that since the Hulkster and Warrior, those guys way back then. I haven't watched that in a long time. Sure, they got
now's your chance to come back
and more roided up. Look, right about now, I'd watch the Westminster Dog Show. That's where I'm at.
Hey, that's actually a good event. I'd watch it anyway. Oh, Mac. So yesterday I saw. Let me tell you, I like what Mike Matheny has had to say. Did anyone see the tweet from the Royals account of what he had? What he had for dinner yesterday, or what he had? Yeah, for dinner yesterday to celebrate what would have been opening day. This is my kind of manager. It showed a picture of the table that he had. The table that he set, he had his catcher's mitt that says Matheny on it. Looks like a nice glass of beer, some nachos, and then what appears to be two chili cheese dogs and fries with a healthy portion of ketchup, hopefully as a nod to Patrick Mahomes. But I like my manager enjoying some ballpark food on what would have been opening day.
I hear you. You know, just another example of catchers knowing how to work the psyche of the fans and their pitchers. You know, that's why they're the managers. But God, I'm really ready for it. You know, I was kind of happy there for a minute about the Nippon League in Japan until three guys decided to get the virus and they had to shut the whole thing down. Because I'm saying, well, that might be the strategy for MLB, how Japan is doing it. Well, that went to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. They're shut back down again. You know, I was talking to Kevin yesterday about what the plan is, and he says it's all right. Everyone gets tested before they come down back to spring training. They're probably going to get tested, you know, on a consistent basis at spring training, but you still don't know. You know, what if you contracted it the day before you got tested? I don't know. He says there's just so many balls in the air, and they're trying to juggle it to figure out what the hell to do. No one has any answers. It's just hurry up and wait. My concern is, I mean, could you imagine players like Billy Butler, what they'd be doing right now? I mean, can you imagine how big he'd be coming back to spring training after trying to get in shape and then going, oh, the hell with it? I think I saw something of Vlad Guerrero Jr. hitting and looked like he put a few back on since spring training started. So it's going to be an absolute hot mess when they get back, and I don't think there's going to be any fans in the stands anytime soon when they do come back.
Hey, Mac, for kids out there that want to keep playing some baseball, but they can't, like, get together with their friends and play, do you got any advice for them? Like, did you have any things you did, let's say when you were a kid, if, you know, those days when, like, in the summertime, parents are out of the house and you got nobody to play with and you just figure out to do something on your own? Do you have any advice or things that kids could be doing right now to keep playing baseball in some form or working on some of their skills?
Well, great question, Nate. I mean, a batting tee and a tarp from Lowe's or Home Depot that you can hang somewhere. You don't need the expensive nets. I used to hit balls into a tarp in my backyard, open the shed and hang it from there, pound balls off the tee. I would go and find, actually, there was an elementary school down the street that had a big, huge brick wall behind it. That I would basically throw the ball against the wall and take grounders and scoot back even farther and play long toss and work on my footwork and throwing into that thing. You'd beat the crap out of some baseball. But look, if there's a will, there's a way, and maybe I'm weird about it, but that's all I did. I would pretend I was, I was a third baseman in back in the days with, you know, Gene Tennis, Sal Bando, and those guys of the A's, and pretend I was them. And, you know, we used to have wood garage doors, believe it or not, back in, you know, the 1950s. But, you know, when I'd throw tennis balls against that and get a friend and you know, we'd pitch to each other and go chase the balls. And, look, there's plenty of space. And if a guy is 50 feet away from you, and then you just go and pick up the balls at the end of BP and just find an open field. If there's a will, there's a way. Go do something just to keep the exercise up. You know, you don't need a full team practice. You can work on your individual skills, and heck, that's going to burn an hour of the day. That's the way I look at it.
Mac, when you were a kid, you were talking about pretending you were Gene Tennis. Did you ever say, "Gene Tennis up to the plate and whammy"?
No, but I did have the luxury of those, you know, Campy Campaneris couldn't run like him. Reggie Jackson, first major leaguer I ever met was Joe Rudy, left fielder for those powerhouse Oakland A's. You just pretended who they'd be. Same thing as young catchers that want to be Salvi or outfielders that want to be Alex, you know. They tend to emulate it, and the good thing about the Kansas City Royals is there's a lot of good, clean, wholesome players on this team that are pretty damn good ball players that you can emulate. So it's a good
thing. What about Gene Tennis, Jake?
Champ here. I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase, whammy, as in Gene Tennis at the plate, and whammy!
Oh, I love that. I love Champ Kind so much.
Jake, how you have that pulled up is beyond me, but I could go for some Anchorman anytime.
You know,
my favorite, when I was a kid,
like, what the hell?
Yeah, I used to pretend when I would pitch, like, to my friends and stuff, I was always, I mean, who didn't pretend to be Dan Quisenberry? Who didn't want to pitch like that? That was fun.
Until you threw the ball one time and killed your shoulder, but other than that.
Right. Right. For some reason, even though he wasn't a Royal, I'd like to be on the Louis Tiant with that turnaround delivery.
And everyone had their Joe Morgan stance and doing the elbow thing and Willie Stargell, left-hander guys that would whip the bat around. Thing you don't realize, I mean, most hitters nowadays swing like 34, 32, you know, bats. Those guys would swing 36, 34s. I mean, they were tree trunks back then. They had more strength than you could possibly imagine. And, oh, by the way, it was clean. So, like I said, I met Joe Rudy outside of an A's game one time, and a friend of a friend. He gave us a team autograph ball and one of his bats, and still have that bat at home. And I'm like, in my best days, there was no way I could swing this thing in a game.
Was it Tony Gwynn that was one of the first guys to really champion the lighter bat? That I remember my dad telling me that anyway. Do you know if that's true or
no,
what started
right.
to get guys?
Yeah, he was. I think he was swinging a 32-inch bat, 32-29, and just flicked his hands. And look, if you barrel it up as good as the wood can be, and, you know, that was back when it was 100% ash wood and not maple, he could still thunder a ball. And, you know, the good part about being a catcher, you know, when you pick up a bat and you throw it against the backstop because you're pissed at something, it's like, holy smokes, that bat's heavy. And you get to see what models and what sizes and how heavy some of those things were. But, you know, Bo swung a heavy bat. You know, one year that we played with Gibby, you know, his bat's pretty thick and heavy. It's just the timing aspect that they liked, that they could be a lot looser with their swing and let the weight in the barrel of the wood, you know, do the damage. But those guys would, when they centered it, it would go real far.
What did you use, Mac, when you were playing?
I was 34, 31 and a half. I mean, they can measure it any way you want. And then I got old, and I'd put a cup at the end of it, and even George would rag on it. He'd go, huh, what are you taking an ounce out at the end? I mean, you hit one off the end of the bat, you're going to break it instead of flaring it in. I was like, oh, that makes sense. So, you know, a lot of guys have that cup at the end of it, which takes an ounce out of there and makes it a little bit lighter. But, yeah, I mean, I still have a few of them at home. And, you know, early on in my career, they felt a lot heavier than they did at the end of my career. So, you know, most guys are around that 30, 34, 32 length and weight.
You know, when Raul Ibanez was playing for the Royals, one day he gave me one of his bats because he had gotten a shipment in and they were a half an ounce too light. And he's like, he gave it to me. He's like, I'll never hit with these. And I said, are you telling me you can pick up a bat and tell the difference in a half an ounce? And he said, every guy in this clubhouse can. Is that true? Like, would you be able to tell the difference if somebody handed you a bat that was a half an ounce lighter than the one you normally hit with?
No, absolutely. And you would separate those. You know, some guys would go to, here's a little, this one feels a little bit heavier. This is the one I'm going to hit in BP. And then this is a gamer. And you'd have the gamer separated. You know, you break one. You always brought two or three out to the dugout with you in case you snap one on a foul ball or anything else. But, yeah, you absolutely. Guys would weigh it. Guys would order a bat and then get a wood scraper and scrape the handle down so they'd get the density in the barrel of the wood, scrape the handle down to make the handle thinner to feel like it gave them more whip and stuff like that. So guys would treat it. They'd have those little you know, dietary scales that they'd put it on there, and the length was always exact. It was just a difference in a half an ounce. Believe it or not, you can feel that, you know, with something that you've used your entire life. It's no different than a golfer with the, you know, the strength of the shaft or the, you know, how the ball comes off the facing and the degree that they want. It gets that scientific, believe it or not. And nowadays with the lathing process of the bats and the 20 different brands that are out there, you know, guys are always searching for that, that feel-good bat, whichever design it is.
Mike McFarland has been our guest. Mac, we appreciate your time, man, as always. And let us know if you decide to dip your toe in the WrestleMania pool this weekend. Jake is taking bets on all matches. I mean, Jake is willing to discuss all matches.
No, I'm taking bets.
Got to supplement the income somehow, Jake. I hear you.
A little action. I haven't lost any money for a while, Mac. I mean,
I hear you. I hear you.
He needs to feel alive, that wonderful feeling he gets when he loses big amounts of money on games just isn't there, and he can't replace it with anything.
When I rip through a 14 parlay that, you know, pays eight times.
I'd have to base it on who I'd see that looks more roided out, I guess, to determine who I was gonna pick. I don't know.
You know what? That's one way to look at it, Mac. We appreciate your time.
It's not a bad way.
Stay safe, guys. We'll see you.
You do the same thing. That's Mike McFarland. Did you? I'm not kidding. Did you see this damn delicious meal that the Royals Twitter account tweeted out that Mike Matheny was enjoying yesterday? My goodness, that looks just like a wonderful way to, even though there's no baseball, to celebrate what would have been opening day. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I've liked what Mike Matheny's had to say so far, but I mean, now I'd like to see some jalapeno slices added to those nachos, but I really can't complain about what I'm seeing from the chili dog, the french fries, and the beer. I feel like that's the way to go, and he's got his catcher's mitt there in case any action breaks out. Fellas, your thoughts? I don't know if you can see it. Do you see you?
I'm taking a look.
Yeah.
I see. I
just need the jalapenos. That's all I'm
looking
for.
I'm not a chili dog guy, though.
Oh, you're not a chili dog.
No,
guy.
No.
Doesn't that look good, though?
I am not a chili dog guy. I don't know. Thanks.
I'm trying to. What else is on there?
That's one of the most stunning revelations I've ever heard on this show.
No, I think I maybe have had like one chili dog in my life. I don't lie. I don't enjoy them.
I don't think I've ever met somebody who doesn't like chili dogs.
I don't like chili dogs.
Nate, what else does he? Man. What else does he have on there, Nate? Look at that. It's the grated cheese. But what else is on there?
It looks like some kind of straw, some onion straws, maybe.
Is that what it is?
They look like little french fries, but the french fries are on the... I don't know.
Maybe those Andy Cap hot fries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever it is, I mean... I'm sorry, Jake. How do you not want to take a bite out of that?
I just don't like chili dogs, man. So sue me.
I'm not angry with you. I'm stunned. Because you're a meat eater.
You ain't kidding. That's the truth.
Not for long.
What you say is
not for long.
Looking for stuff to gobble up earlier.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No.
He's got a nice beer. He got his catcher's mitt out there. That's a fine meal. But Mike Matheny, you gotta have some jalapenos there.
Number 22.
Awesome. The nachos look naked. So. Speaking of,
maybe he dips the chips in the chili dog.
I still need jalapenos for that.
I'm with you.
Speaking of naked, well, what about Todd Lebo in studio next?
Todd's here. Todd's in the building. I saw Todd.
We find out that Todd likes to listen to our show while showering, which
it's hot.
I don't know. TMI a little bit. I don't know if it's hot.
That's hot.
We'll take a break. We'll talk to Todd Lebo, all these coaches and people talking on Zoom teleconferences and everything. We'll talk to Todd Lebo after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Next question comes from the line of Ted Leobu, Sports Radio 810.